Welcome to episode 764 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem.
Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
The phrase, vanity of vanities, captures the recurring theme and heart of the sacred text. But what does it mean? And how does it resonate with our modern lives? When we hear the word vanity, we may think of excessive pride or self-admiration. In the literary world, vanity is used to describe a type of publishing where authors pay to have their books published, often because traditional publishers have turned them down. If you're 80 years old, vanity might evoke images of a dressing table, often equipped with a mirror, where one might sit to apply makeup or arrange hair. Originally, vanity comes from the Latin word vanitas, meaning emptiness. It conveys the idea of something that lacks substance, value, or significance. In Ecclesiastes, it translates the Hebrew word hebel, which conveys the idea of breath, vapor, or something fleeting. Life, in all its hustle and bustle, is transient and ephemeral, here today and gone tomorrow. Solomon, despite his unparalleled wisdom, unprecedented fame, and unsurpassed riches, felt this deeply. He begins his reflections with a bold statement in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities. All is vanity." This phrase, or something quite like it, will be used about 30 times in this short book. In this opening chapter, Solomon not only notes that life is vanity, but that all is vanity. It seems that every part of life suffers from this emptiness. But why would a king, living in splendor and luxury, make such a claim? Solomon was not a man of half measures. In his pursuit of meaning, he sought wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 17, "I applied my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a striving, or grasping, after wind." As the narrative in Ecclesiastes progresses, the preacher recounts his personal journey to find meaning and purpose. Despite being endowed with unparalleled wisdom, the preacher comes to a humbling realization. The pursuit of even the loftiest human knowledge, when sought as an end in itself, is as elusive as striving, or grasping, after wind. Just as one cannot grasp or hold on to the wind, the human quest for understanding, devoid of a divine or eternal perspective, is ultimately insubstantial. The repeated and intensified search for wisdom brought no ultimate meaning. The solution wasn't to think harder and search better, it was all grasping for the wind. Verse 18 continues, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." The more the preacher understood life under the sun, the greater his despair. The more he learned, the more he realized what he didn't know. The more he knew, the more he knew life's sorrows. Even with unparalleled knowledge, Solomon felt emptiness. He also chased after pleasure, indulging in wine, women, and song. Yet, this too, according to Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11, was vanity and a striving after wind. In our age, we often equate knowledge with power and pleasure with fulfillment. But as Solomon discovered, these pursuits, devoid of a deeper purpose, are fleeting. They are not the lasting foundations upon which to build a meaningful life. In perhaps the most well-known chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." Life is full of seasons. Times of joy, sorrow, birth, death, planting, and reaping. These cycles remind us of the transient nature of our existence, urging us to find purpose beyond the immediate. In our modern lives, we often get caught in the rush of daily routines, forgetting the bigger picture. We should ask ourselves, Are we merely going through the motions, or are we living with intention, embracing each season as it comes? Solomon observed that in this world, the race doesn't always go to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Sometimes, the righteous suffer, while the wicked prosper. This observation can lead to disillusionment. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4, Then I saw that all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. In our lives, it's easy to become jaded when we witness or experience injustice. But the message of Ecclesiastes isn't one of hopelessness. Rather, it challenges us to rise above the seeming randomness, to live with integrity even when life seems unfair. Delving further, Solomon acknowledges the value of relationships and community. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 to 10, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Amidst all the vanities of life, true companionship stands as a beacon of hope and purpose. In our age of digital connections, and sometimes superficial relationships, we must ask ourselves, are we investing in genuine, meaningful connections? It's not about the number of friends or followers, but the depth and quality of our bonds. The challenges of life are more bearable, and its joy is more delightful when shared. One of the most profound lessons from Ecclesiastes is the idea of contentment. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 6, Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Solomon, with all his wealth, arrived at this simple yet elusive truth. Contentment isn't found in abundance, but in appreciating what we have. In a consumerist society, where more often equates to better, we're constantly told we need more to be happy. However, Ecclesiastes challenges this notion, inviting us to savor the present, to be grateful for our daily blessings, and to find contentment in simplicity. Solomon's reflections lead to a pivotal conclusion. This is what he writes in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. After a thorough exploration of life's vanities, Solomon determines that recognizing God's sovereignty and adhering to his commands is the foundational purpose of life. Solomon concedes that one can have a 10-10 life if one submits oneself to the 10 guidelines for abundant living. In our quest for meaning, we too must realize that life's ultimate purpose transcends our earthly pursuits. A reverential awe and respect for God anchor our existence, providing clarity amid chaos and hope amidst despair. And, as we determined in yesterday's episode, recognition of God's sovereignty should drive us to our knees and loosen our tongues in praise. If we know who God is and we fear him, we will be motivated to worship him. Vanity of vanities, Solomon declares. Life, with all its complexities, can indeed seem fleeting and elusive. Yet, Ecclesiastes is not a book of pessimism, but one of profound hope. It doesn't dismiss our pursuits, but places them in perspective. As we chase dreams, form relationships, face injustices, and seek contentment, let us be reminded of the eternal backdrop against which our lives play out. In our search for meaning, let the wisdom of Ecclesiastes guide us. Let's embrace the seasons of life, cherish genuine companionship, find contentment in the present, and above all, anchor our lives in the unchanging truth of God. Father, may the reflections of King Solomon inspire and challenge us to live lives of depth, purpose, and eternal significance. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life today.